Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Life podcast. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode. It is with the amazing Grace Hazel, who I'm so blessed to be able to call a dear sister. She is sharing so much wisdom and juicy goodness in this episode. We're talking about everything from vagina awakening to deep healing, birth, motherhood, and everything in between. And honestly, the contents of this episode could be truly transformative and deeply healing for the world. I know it, I believe it. So go ahead, dive in, and I'll see you next time. Grace Hazel is a mother, entrepreneur, soul business coach, healer, sister of the earth, and all-round beautiful goddess. She's here to support you to awaken your vagina and be rich through your soul's purpose. From vulvodynia to pleasure and power, Grace has been on an epic healing journey of her own, and she has transformed her wounds into wisdom. And aren't we so grateful that she's here sharing the magic? So welcome, Grace, to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. The moment you released your podcast, Steffi, and I listened to the first episode, I had this little secret moment of going, oh, I hope Steffi invites me on the podcast. So when I received your message, I was like, yes, it was a real like internal, oh my God, yes, wishes have been fulfilled. So here we are.
Oh, Grace, totally. Feeling is massively mutual. So thank you. Actually, I wanted to share with you guys that me and Grace have known each other for about, I think, 5 or 6 years and are connected through a beautiful sisterhood. And the last time we actually saw each other was in Ibiza, where Grace lives. And I had just had a miscarriage and Grace was heavily pregnant with Ray. And it was this really beautiful and actually medicinal moment of two women meeting to be together through their very unique metamorphosis. And in a sense, we were in a really different place, weren't we? Mm. But in a very similar place. And It's like this very transitional, life-affirming moment. And personally, what it led me into deeper was that there is always so much that we can recognize and feel and empathize within one another, even when it looks quite different on the outside. And if we can be courageous enough to reach out to each other, even when it feels like we are failing and the other woman is succeeding, which is just an illusion, so much healing is there. And when we connect rather than compete, women to women, it's probably one of the most powerful things in the world. Don't you think, Grace?
I absolutely do agree. And I particularly remember that moment where we met and we got on the boat and we were spending that day together. And for me, it was the moment that we began to talk and you opened up about what you had been going through with the miscarriage and your journey. And then I was able to open up about what had been happening on my pregnancy journey. And it was in that space that we actually really met each other beyond what the physical labels of what we were having or what was there really. And we were able to drop into the emotional parts and what it was we were traveling through. And for me, that was super special.
Totally. So Grace, tell our listeners out there, what is vagina awakening and what exactly is the work that you do?
Amazing. So vagina awakening, there's so many yummy layers to it. And I've been in this world for what is around the last 5 years. I've been in the healing world for 10, but 5 years has been purely focused towards vagina awakening. And what I love to say before I dive into any of this is that when I refer to the vagina, I'm simply giving a label to the anatomy of the vulva, vagina, cervix space, and womb space. I say space after cervix and womb because not everybody has a cervix and womb. And vagina feels like a label that is well known universally as the genitalia. And personally, I used to use the word pussy, but Instagram banned me on a number of occasions. So I had to work with my lingo. And so now vagina is the way I go. And when it comes to vagina awakening, essentially what this work is supporting people to connect to the power and the magic that lives between their thighs. I believe that, and I get goosebumps just saying it, it may be the aircon just kicked in, but I think it's the goosebumps. For me, I believe that everybody who has a vagina should be or should be allowed to go through a process where they reawaken their relationship to this place. And due to the society that we've grown up in and the years and years and years prior to even us being born that goes into our ancestry, we have been shamed around our sexuality and our body. And so what's happened over those years is the magic and the potency of what lives between our thighs has become completely dormant. And so my work is simply saying to women, hey, let's take time to reconnect and build a relationship to your vagina. And what usually happens through that is that there is a homecoming. There is a sense of becoming whole again. They rediscover and ignite ancient parts of themselves that they have never felt before in their life. Some people are like, I just met God and God lives between my thighs. So that's my work. And when I say vagina awakening, initially what that began as a lot in the client work I did was sexuality focused. Yet over the years of doing this work, and again, this is where I get goosebumps because it's so important to realize that actually this space between our thighs isn't just about our sexuality. It's actually to do with the way that we show up in all aspects of our life. It's our creativity. It's our feminine essence. It's what allows us to tap into desire and pleasure. And that is not just located in the bedroom. That's located for what we choose in our world. Do we choose a world where we are tapped into our pleasure and our desire? Are we living with all of the lights and the rainbow of like what life can be switched on? Or are we switched off to our pleasure and our desire? Do we live based on what we've just been given or what our belief systems or what society has told us we can be? So it's with this work that we come back to the home of our body. And within that, I feel like there is a deep reconnecting to the earth that we live on too. So there are so many layers to this, and I hope that we can get to tap into some of it within this call. But that's a nutshell of the work that I do through Vagina Awakening.
So amazing. I've got total full body goosebumps. It's just so healing and exactly what I feel like we all deeply need. And when I'm hearing you listen, it just, to me, seems like a very transformational, deeply spiritual process. And can you tell us a little bit then about what the actual work is? I have a feeling I know from you, but like to our listeners in a session or working with someone like you, what is this work? Is it spiritual work? Is it physical work? Can you share a little bit more about that?
All the above, Steffi. What I can do is explain a little about one of my courses, which is the Vagina Awakening course. And it's been updated over the years as I've grown and understood more as a teacher and in my own life. However, the structure of these courses are that you connect to different portals within your vagina. So that would be your vulva, your vagina, like on the anatomy level, your cervix space and your womb space. This isn't just about prodding yourself physically and going, oh, hello. There is a bit of that in there because, you know, you're learning about anatomy and you're learning about how we are physically as creatures, yet also there is so much to our genitals that actually holds so much spiritual element and emotional element. So I'll give you an example of that, which is directly related to me. When I was around 19 years old, I developed a condition called vulvodynia. And vulvodynia was not very well known back then. And so I spent quite a number of years going into hospitals and saying, my vagina hurts all the time, and especially when I have sex. And nobody really knew what was going on. And they treated me from a purely physical perspective. So they would give me numbing creams. They would put me on really high intensity tablets, which were for my nervous system to essentially switch off pain. They offered me an operation, which I actually, at that point, because I was young and I had no other understanding of healing, I took this, or I said yes to this operation, which was to actually remove part of my vulva and vagina, like the skin area where it was painful. And so what was happening at that time was that these doctors, through no, they didn't have an understanding of the rest of this holistic medicine piece. They were treating me physically. And so nothing happened, right? After all of these years, and especially when I had the operation, I realized that nothing was working. And that's when I started going inwards and asking myself, well, what is there? Why is my vagina in pain? And that's when I discovered that actually there is so much emotion held within our pelvic bowl. And also there's so much of a spiritual element to that too. There's an ancestral element to it also. So to keep it basic, what happens in my containers is I'm allowing and supporting women to empower themselves to the knowing that this space between our thighs isn't just for shoving a moon cup or a tampon into. It's not just for sex. It's not just for all of the things that you've ever done to your vagina, and you know, that isn't, it's just really practical stuff. There is a, it's a space that holds on to a lot of emotion, a lot of memory. And that memory can be stuff that hasn't been so great within our lives, the blueprint that we have grown up with around our sexuality. And also when we start to uncover and unravel that stuff, we can be left with lots of information that's empowering, such as the history of power that we hold as women in our pussy. Okay, so a lot of the time that starts to come up. So the work really is, Steffi, supporting people to unpack all of the armor that is loaded in our vulva, vagina, cervix space, and womb space, so that everybody can come back into a place where the energy is balanced and they are in connection with the information there, which will lead to their awakening and power.
It's so huge. It's like probably the hugest thing that there is.
And it, I think so.
My God, I'm literally just sitting here like, yes, Grace, yes, yes, yes. So what I also wanted to touch on there that you just mentioned, which is so interesting, is that often we are looking at what's going on in the physical body or what's not going on or what's in balance and what's not, just from this physical point of view. And you spoke there about your own personal experience with vulvodynia and the pain that you were experiencing and how you start treatment just on the physical, like let's stop the pain and not look into the root cause of the pain. And that's very similar to, in the most compassionate and loving way, I'm sure, as you are with yourself. And we wouldn't be who we are with what we know if we didn't go through X, Y, and Z. And it's with only love, like complete love. But when I look back to the place that I was in a few years ago of searching, like there's something deeply wrong with me because X, Y, and Z is not happening in terms of conception or going full term with my pregnancies. Even on the spiritual path that I've deeply been in for really as long as I have ever been here, I've always been on this path of why and questioning and, you know, deep listening and curiosity. Still, even with that background and deep foundation, when fear kicked in, like deep fear and loss and grief, I just completely lost that empowerment and went to, okay, so physically, this is a problem. And while there might be things to balance, which there still could be, but it was just a physical thing, sort me out. And then through this new healing and this new journey going on, realizing that actually it's like, you know, you're speaking about what we're carrying in our womb, what we're carrying ancestrally, you know, childhood mother links with that space of the womb space, right? And all of that and our fertility and what that means and mothering ourselves first. And I don't know, what you just inspired me to share a bit about that. I don't know if you've got anything to add with your expertise around that.
What I feel is, and this is what popped in, it might not be a direct link into what you've just said, but it popped into my mind and I really feel to say it, is that we are being forever taught that our power is outside of ourselves. And this is what happened, right, when the patriarchy came in. We were living in quite a matriarchal society before that. And then the patriarchy came in and said, hey, you need to worship this god that is outside of you, rather than what was happening before, which was that everybody, yeah, worshipping our goddess, right? And even the men, like, it's like, this isn't just a thing around gender. It was like, everybody now, stop being with the earth and your cyclical nature and her cyclical nature. Stop working with those rhythms and now bring everything outside of yourself and find your power outside of yourself. And what I see now is that because we're so much in that, we're consistently seeking outside, wanting to find validation outside of ourselves. And it's when we come back in and realize that actually this magic and power is within us that the healing really begins. So when we go to a hospital specialist, so for instance, similar situations where we go, we're in fear. For me, I'm in fear because I'm in pain. I'm scared that at 19 years old, I'm going to lose my boyfriend that I really loved back then. Bless him. We're not together anymore. But I was scared. So I put all of my trust in something outside of myself, which was the hospital system. But as soon as I realized that me consistently going to the hospital over all of those years and saying, please heal me, when nothing happened, that gave me, even at that young age, the idea that it was internally that I would understand and find the answers, right? Mm. It was in my connecting to my vagina from a level of like, hey, babe, can we chat? How are you? What do you need? That she gave me a wailing great fuck off because she was mad. But it was then I realized, oh, she's not happy. Why is she not happy? What is it in my world that has been created to create such a disconnect between me and her? And so when you speak of, you know, you getting into that fear and going, okay, what physically is wrong? What do I need to fix? It's again, yes, what can I fix? Rather than internally going, what's within me here? What's my inner wisdom asking me to do? What's the message here?
And Grace, I want to just add to that as well. What's like, I've got goosebumps. To add to that is, I think it really comes down to the healing is finding safety within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that when we find this, like you're speaking about homecoming, and that actually the answers are here and we're like turning away from it, and our body is sometimes whispering, but sometimes screaming at us, and still we're not listening. And yeah, this homecoming and creating the safety within ourselves. So it's not about fear. We're not looking outside for the answers. If we can find the safety within us and know that the answers are here, and to just really, yeah, come home. I think that is just so healing. Mm-hmm. So with the people that you work with, is there a common thread that you can tie together that seems to be holding people back from power, purpose, and pleasure?
It's always so multifaceted, Steffi. And when I work one-to-one with people, they are always coming to me with very unique symptoms. And I say symptom in a way that it could be a physical symptom, it could be an emotional, it could be spiritual, whatever. It's there's always that. What I would say the thread can be is that we were never given education to connect to the power within our thighs, between our thighs. So what happens is this is an area that goes very, very untouched. And I mean untouched because we're literally not coming to our vagina and going, hey, I'm just going to place my hands here, breathe into you and see what you need. And what over the course of a time of somebody's life, or I'll say a woman's life, happens is, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is that we develop armor. And we call in the sacred sexuality spaces and the body work spaces, we call armor, or we refer to armor as something which is, it first of all starts off as emotional. So it may be something that happened to us when we were younger. So I'll give you an example of what armor would be in my body through my life, which then led to vulvodynia, which was that I hadn't developed any boundaries sexually. So what would happen was that I would get really, really drunk and have sex with people. And I wouldn't consider that my body did or didn't want to be a part of that. My mind was just like, we're doing this, we're doing that. And what happened was I disconnected more and more and more and more from the wisdom of my body, especially my vagina. And because my vagina wasn't being heard at all, the only way for her to speak to me and say no to this experience was to come up with pain, right? So the pain actually stopped me from having sex. So then that's the way that I realized that something was wrong. So when we look at the armor that's formed there, that was physical armor because it had turned into pain because it had been happening over such a long amount of time. But there may be a woman that comes to me and says, I feel completely turned off. I have no libido. I have no sexual interest. And I'm not going to go to that woman. Hey, let's stick you on a load of herbal medicines and like, yeah, just sort some things out and here's some female Viagra for you. No, what I'm going to do is say, wow, I wonder why that woman is experiencing a turn off. What happened? And that's when we start doing a lot of digging work. What happened for that to be triggered? When do they last remember being switched on and turned on? And what may have happened in her life for that connection to have severed? So we are in this work repairing severed connection, repairing the energetics of what really when we're born is essentially our sexual energy, which is our life force, which is just pulsing through our body. Where did that get cut off? Where did that become stagnant? Where are we unhealed? And it's when we start to heal those places and those pieces that we can allow the rivers of our sexual energy to start to move through our body. And I love using the word rivers because it is a flow, right? It's creative energy, it's sexual energy, it's feminine energy. And so sometimes it's like that becomes frozen from a trauma, frozen from a moment, frozen from multiple moments, frozen from multiple words that have been sold to you about what it is to be in a female body, what it is to be sexual, what it is to be a woman, right? So we're healing on this real, I guess the word is like multidimensional level to support people's bodies to come back into energetic flow, especially around their sexual energy.
And so if people don't have the resources or the ability to work with someone like you, do you have three simple things or practices that we can integrate into our life that can help us connect to this power and our sexuality, our pleasure, our purpose?
Absolutely. So I feel like the best possible thing anyone can do, and this is totally free, is that you can simply find a space where you have a quiet 5 minutes, place your hands around your womb space, or you can directly hold your vulva, whichever feels good for you. Close down your eyes and breathe. And you can allow yourself to breathe, allow the mind to melt away so that you can feel, and you're sending your breath, your conscious awareness down into your vagina. And do this for a while and you can say some words. You can say something like, I'm here and I'm ready to build a relationship with you. What do you need? How can we repair our bond and connection? So that's like number one. And that's what I actually feel is one of the most powerful things that anyone can do for themselves in this moment right now. And your vagina will actually tell you, what's the next steps? How can we formulate a new relationship, a new friendship? And the way I see it is that we are essentially repairing a broken friendship. And if you imagine that in human form, you wouldn't expect to like go up to somebody who you used to be friends with and that, you know, there's been a lot of trauma in the relationship and you two are kind of like not really getting on anymore and go, hey, let's be friends, switch back on, let's go back to the old days. No, that doesn't happen. We have to invest our time and our love and our devotion into that friend and into that friendship to repair the bond.
Drop our egos.
Exactly. Drop the ego. It's not about going like from where we're at to, I was about to say like huge orgasms and this and that, but whatever the desire is that you are connecting to your vagina for. The next phase that I love to invite people to do, which again can just be done at the safety of your own home and it's totally free, is to take your knickers off, spread your legs, and just have a look at your vulva in the mirror. And in the very same way that I described, which is simply to breathe and feel and connect to your vagina through breath and awareness, do the very same thing whilst witnessing your vulva. And I guarantee that a world of cultural conditioning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, will come into your mind. All of the beliefs that you hold around your sexuality, around your body, will start to spring to the surface as you witness eye to eye, eye to vulva mouth, your vulva. And so that's when you can start to become really aware of what you are carrying emotionally and with beliefs in this space. So those are the two things that I would say are really beautiful to work with initially. And you asked for three, so perhaps we can add in there simple body movement on a daily basis, especially working with the hips. I like to teach something in my courses called the pussy wind, which is essentially getting some music on that you love. It doesn't have to be sexy, but something that you enjoy to move to. Place your hands on your hips or your hands on your womb space or your hands on your vulva, whichever feels good, and breathe and wind through your hips, because you're essentially moving the pelvic bowl energy. And that starts to mix things up and draw things up to the surface. Okay. Mm. So those three things are quite simple and everyone can do that.
Thank you, Grace. Definitely carving out some time later. Mm-hmm. So, Grace, you've recently become a mom to beautiful, beautiful Ray. Can you share a little bit what your biggest learning has been on the journey so far?
Oh, yes, I can. It's literally like a daily million lesson time for me. Everything and every part of me that was existing before is just having to shed every single day. However, the main lesson for me would be surrender. When I didn't have Ray, I could most of the time work to a schedule or a plan of my day or what I would like to be moving towards. And having Ray is like constantly bringing me into the present moment of actually like everything that I can plan actually doesn't always happen. And when I try to hold on tightly and do the stuff that I've planned for the day, I find myself becoming frustrated. I find myself becoming impatient, and that's not the way that I want to mother. So it's only when I surrender and go, okay, this is what's happening, this is what's here, that I can soften, come into my heart, come into my body, and mother from that place. And of course, then, when I then come back to my other parts of my world, that at the moment it's my work, I am in my heart. I'm not in pressure or trying or striving, I'm in my heart. So at this point in time, I'm learning to surrender, and I'm learning that surrender doesn't just make me a better mama to Ray, it makes me a better human in life with everything that I am creating and growing.
100%, 100%. That's a big lesson coming through for me too, and in different ways to you, but I totally feel everything that you're saying. And yeah, it's when we let go of the struggle but it's supposed to be this way, and it's supposed to be this way, and I've got this to do. And it's like, oh wow, actually, what happens when you just go, maybe there lies much bigger treasure and gold, you know, it's in this struggle. And I guess also, not that I'm a mother, but I can imagine, or from friends and different experiences, not that it's resentment, but sometimes as mothers, you know, like this feeling of maybe missing out, or I'm not getting to do everything, or I'm losing these things. I guess that's also perhaps a part of the teaching of like, as you said, you're able to mother from a much more heartfelt space and loving space when you just go, all of that that I think it needs to be, give it up, instead of going, but I want to do that, I should be doing that, because that's going to get a real chip on your shoulder, right?
Totally. And do you know what, Steffi? It's so great that you've brought this up, because it feels like foundations of the healing that I'm doing currently, which I didn't even realize was there to be done, which is deep rage. And when I started feeling rage in my body when after becoming a mother, I was really shocked by the sensation of it, because I hadn't felt rage for much at all. It used to be like a rage for the work that I do now. Like, how dare we be taken from and raped and pillaged? And it was always like that rage, and, which is why I do this work. But at the moment, it's like not a rage, because I love Ray so much. And so actually the rage is nothing to do with him. And what I've realized within myself is that the rage is more towards the pain and the grief of the mother. And it links back to what I was speaking about before, when everything was taken away from us and we got put into this patriarchal rule, and the mother was decentralized. And so what I see a lot of the time is there are lots of mamas who are exhausted, who are tired, who are trying to do their whole life plus raise incredible children. And so what I've been tapping into is the rage and the grief of that, right? That the mother has been decentralized, and in replacement of that, the maiden has been celebrated in our culture. So young, I don't know how to, it's like the mature body isn't celebrated. The mature woman isn't celebrated anymore. And it's not to do with being actually a mother. It's actually to do with the maturing of our womanhood from maiden to mother. And so I've been sat a lot with that rage. And actually, when I feel the rage and I'm just like, oh God, I'm so pissed off. And normally I'd be like, I'm really pissed off at Mike. But if I allow myself to journey with that, I realize I'm not actually pissed off with Mike. I'm pissed off with the system that has essentially not supported the centralization of the goddess of the mother, so that actually we have to do so much and we still have to show up and smile and we still have to look good and we're expected, so much is expected of us. So that's definitely what I'm journeying at the moment, and truly it feels like a blessing, because it's much bigger than my own stuff. It feels like it's something to do with the collective story of what we are given as women. And so again, it's like the deepening of this work again and again and again.
And so, God, it leads me perfectly onto this, which is, we hear a lot at this time, especially in the field that we work in and live in, is the rise of the feminine. And you've just shared a little bit what spurred me on to going down this direction now. And in this very masculine dominated society that we are living in, how do you personally tap into your feminine energy? And you have shared already a little bit about this, but this, when we start moving towards force, are there practices or things that you do that allow you to arrive deeper into a place of trust and surrender, which you kind of shared about earlier?
Yeah. So on a purely just me level, if I can feel, and it's good to say that masculine and feminine energy aren't to do with man, woman is simply an energy that is within all beings. But when I feel like I'm edging towards control and that type of masculine, let's call it like the toxic masculine energy, because if I'm controlling, it's not necessarily in a way that is for kindness. I'm controlling because I'm like, I'm afraid. It's like what we were talking about earlier, like how can I find safety in my body? And that may mean that I take some time to move that experience, that somatic experience. So for me at this time, it has been rage. I'm like, well, what would it be like if I shook that through my body, if I allow it to actually take up some space, right? And once I actually acknowledge the thing that I'm feeling and I let it rise up and through me, usually on the other side of that is a surrender, because it's only in my need to control or whatever toxic pieces are coming in that I am actually trying not to look at the thing that feels vulnerable. And the feminine is vulnerable. The feminine is open and surrendered. So again, it's that surrender again. So for me, it's, yeah, acknowledging the feeling, being with it, moving it through my body, allowing myself to face it. Because on the other side of that actually usually is a letting go, a release and a softening.
How has becoming a mother changed your connection with your sexuality and spirituality?
Wow. Well, I'll start with, well, sexuality and spirituality very linked, but I'll go into like the practicals. The practicals of my current sex life. Well, first of all, when I gave birth, like my vagina literally turned inside out. Like I remember giving birth and touching, my doulas were like, touch your cervix and see if you can feel Ray's head coming through. And I remember doing it and being like, holy shit, like sticking my finger up my vagina, feeling my cervix and feeling like this little squidgy head, like, wow, that just to feel that happening, but then Ooh. Also feeling like my entire vagina had turned inside out, including my arsehole. Steffi, it's a lot. So there's
the
me
arsehole.
Like
the arsehole.
The arsehole. Like I was like touching my bum and I was going to the medullas in the most intense part of my labor. I've been there for 2 days, Steffi.
All at home.
No pain, medication at all, yeah. So I was touching my bum and I was thinking, oh, I think I'm going to have hemorrhoids. The human body is so amazing that, like, you give birth and, like, I didn't actually tear and by some sort of miracle, which is usually because of having a birth pool because it softens everything in the skin. But anyways, that wasn't the question. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is my vagina turned inside out. And for the first, let's say, I think it must have been the first 2 months, I was wetting myself when I laughed. A lot of wetting myself, essentially. I was fanny farting. Like, it was all happening. Like, the vagina wasn't okay. And so it wasn't a place for visitors. But what I actually now am experiencing through sex with my partner, Mike, is that sex has got way deeper, more powerful and more what I would call tantric, more energetic, more. It's like we journey together. And what I think has happened is that when Ray came through my pussy, because it turned inside out, and this links to this stuff that I call armor that is held. So the ancestral stuff, the emotional stuff. With Ray coming through my pussy, that was like the biggest de-armoring ever, right? Mm. He de-armored my pussy coming through my pussy. And there was a point at birth where the contractions were really, really slow and it was like my doulas didn't know what was going on. It wasn't a worrying time, but it was an intense time because, like I said, it was a 2 day plus labor. And the women gathered and said, hey, we're going to have to do some ancestral and trauma healing for Grace because she's stuck. There's something that's sticking here. And so one of the women went off and called in her community to do some energetic healing for me. And what came back was that it was ancestral. Like there was a lot of ancestral trauma that was being cleared through the birth. Yeah. And so what has happened since then with sex is that my pussy, my vagina feels so soft and receptive. Mm. She's turned into this juicy open place, which is like, I want to receive you, I want to love you, you know, to Mike's cock essentially. And so it's like the magic for me of what sex has now become feels like it's become something that actually holds deeper roots, bigger than what I have ever experienced beforehand. And that's quite a powerful thing to happen because I've been in hugely awakened sexually experiences in my life. But this feels like a deepening into my maturity rather than what I was doing before, which felt like a little bit of a sex fest of like, oh my God, I can do this and I can do that. And this is fun. Now it feels really rooted in me being a mother. And there's so much else that can be said about, you know, the eroticism of the mother, the sensuality of the mother. But all I really needed to do is say yes to having sex again because there was 1,000 excuses why I couldn't. You know, I'm so tired. I've constantly got Ray attached to me. I don't want anyone else to take or touch my body. But actually, just in saying yes has allowed me and Mike to reconnect on that level and for this journey to deepen again.
Oh, so beautiful, Grace. And I was wondering, actually, I saw on your Instagram, we've not actually talked about this personally, but I saw recently a post about your closing of the bones ceremony. It's called closing of the bones, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was wondering, can you share a little bit about that? Because we've kind of gone through quite a nice journey here. And as we come to wrap up our podcast, it would just be nice for you to share because so many people will have never heard about this. And I think it's really powerful.
Yes. Thank you. And I feel that it's important to share these rituals and ways that we can come back to in regards to birthing and mothering, because it's again something that's been taken from us when we were, this is just my personal opinion, but I think that a lot of the time we are told that birth is dangerous and there are different degrees of what's going on in a woman's body or a person's body before they're going to birth. So sometimes it's better for them to be supported in a hospital. However, natural birthing is something that has had a lot of fear put around it. And in fact, it is what I believe a complete rite of passage. It is a ceremony, it's initiation to becoming a mother to your child. Like, that experience literally brought me through a portal to be able to go, I'm a mother now, right? Pregnancy did that intensely, but more slowly. Birth was like, if you're not ready now, you are, because you will be. And anyways, because birth is such a huge experience, what I believe happens and what I have learned that happens is that our energetic field blasts way open, right? So our energetic field is opening up to the high heavens and then digging deep down into the earth, because we are reaching our soul, our personal soul energy, up to essentially bring our baby soul through us into human form. Yeah. Mm. And so then when we're birthing again, we're literally bringing what I believe is like the great mother energy. That's the contractions, right? The contractions are so intense. And what I like to see it is as the great mother energy. Every wave, this great mother preparing, initiating, and allowing your baby to be born. It is not just a physical experience. Birth is emotionally huge. Birth is spiritually huge. And what can happen afterwards is that it is such, I mean, in birth at points I was like, this is traumatic. This is so intense that I feel like it's traumatic. You know, it was of that nature because it's such a huge experience. It's amazing and powerful and I loved it, but it was big. So closing the bones is a ceremony which is, it comes from Central America, and two of my doulas were trained by the abuelas in Central America. So they really hold these rites of passage and these rituals in their heart and in their practices. And you are physically, on like a practical level, being wrapped up in cloth, and you are being massaged with the cloth and you're being swayed with the cloth. And this ritual goes from the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. You're wrapped up and held. What's physically or what's energetically going on is your energy body is being pulled back in. So the blast of your energy body is being asked to come back inwards. So you come back into you. What I felt happening for myself is that I was being rebirthed from maiden into mother again. So it was like I was being buried into the heart of the earth. Mm-hmm. I was being held by the mother, because even, you know, mothers need to be mothered too. It's not just you become a mother and then you don't need support. Like, we need the divine mother. We need to call on her. I tell you what, I call on her on a daily, twice daily basis. I'm like, mama, hold me. But we're being pulled back into that energy of being held by her, but also drawing the energy body back in. And I feel that the ceremony is so important for all people that have birthed, because so often women are left dealing with what happened in birth and not able to process what happened in birth, because all sorts of things can happen that could have felt disempowering, which could have felt upsetting. And then, of course, we get experiences like overwhelm or depression, et cetera, because we're not being held through these spaces and going, hey, I've got you, mama. You can be held whilst you're mothering. So the closing the bone ceremony is a part of those rituals. What I see now happening in our world, or in at least in the world that I'm in, is that there are a lot of postpartum doulas becoming. I'm seeing lots of people training in that work. And that is just as necessary as the pregnancy work and the birth work. In fact, I feel like as much as those things, like we can say those are super important, postpartum, wow, the women need to be held in those processes, because quite frankly, like if I hadn't had my doulas coming round every day after my birth, I don't know what would have happened. I needed them, right? So that's a bit about closing the bones, and also what I feel about that mamas need, especially after birth.
Yeah, wow. And it totally makes sense, as you said there, not that anything is more or less important, but that time of postpartum where it's been so left behind, and women in the past and still now are just left on their own, and it's all new and it's all a lot, and how that can be the last piece that's even begun really in our society, in our culture, to even be considered.
I mean, I'm just going to like tell you what happened, because there's a day, there's one day where your hormones really drop. And I was told
it's
about
the
this
biggest
day.
Hormonal. It's the biggest hormonal drop in any animal or in the human? Maybe
I
in the human.
I think it's in any human. It's the biggest hormonal drop that can happen so fast.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have people around you understanding that, it can be a shit show. For me, I thought Mike was going to kill me, and still Ray. I had this day where he was making me smoothies in bed, because I wasn't getting out of bed for the first 40 days. It was just me and Ray in that real baby bubble. And Mike came upstairs with a smoothie he'd made me. And I was like, I think he's poisoning me.
Wow.
And we had like a big thing go on where I didn't trust him. I thought he was going to like run off with Ray. And what happened on that day was that one of the doulas came round, and Mike, I was really pissed off with him, because I was obviously still really tender about them and thinking of this man, this horrible man who's going to kill me. He made a joke about it. But what happened was he talked to our doula about it, and then I was able to kind of go, yeah, I kind of felt like Mike was going to kill me. And it was like saying it out loud to her made it really funny. I was like, oh, he's not going to kill me.
It like popped the intensity of
exactly.
It. It was like, what am I saying?
Totally. I'm like, I don't think that's happening. But it's like, if I didn't have that support system and that understanding of what was going on in my body, but also like that, just that love of my doula being like, oh, babe, it's okay. Let me hold you. And me just crying and going, it's a lot. You know, I cried most of the time through those 40 days, because the intensity of what you're feeling is so huge. You're transforming because you've become a mother. You're looking after this baby, but also your hormones are wild. Mm. So it's a really important time to nourish the mother physically, but also energetically, emotionally, all of the things.
And so a lot of people won't have heard about the 40 days postpartum and all of that. So you literally stayed in your bed, did you, for 40 days apart from toilet and showers? Or did you go for walks, or like, what is that? Because I mean, I know about it, but yeah, fill us in on what your experience was.
Totally. Well, I'm a massive introvert, and I'm trying to just like reframe that, because I'm not always an introvert. But at this particular time during pregnancy and after birth, I was a major introvert. So it was like super easy for me to do this. And first 40 days is something, again, that is held within cultures all around the world, whereby if a woman has given birth, she is allowed to be in bed with her baby, and some people actually just like shut all of the light out of the room, because you're supporting your baby to feel like they are still in the womb. So you're keeping the womb really, the womb room really warm.
I love it.
Yeah, it's basically a womb room. and you are resting as the mother. And so this brings upon the connection between you and your baby, but also it supports the body after birth to heal, which is super important because really women shouldn't be walking around carrying anything, doing anything, because for the pelvic bowl, actually the pelvic bowl needs to heal. The womb needs to move back into its regular place. All of the organs are transitioning and changing. So on a physical level, it's recovery. And so for me, the first 40 days was spent, first 2 weeks, I literally was in bed. I was in bed, sometimes weeing myself, Steffi, not on purpose, but accidentally, I was wearing a nappy. there was no stopping the wee coming out. If I sneezed, we were gone. So I was just in bed for 2 weeks and then started to come downstairs and be a little bit more in my house. Me and Mike went for like a walk or two within those 40 days. And for me, I was so sensitive that I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to see people because I could really feel the sensitivity of me. But also in that, there's the idea of like mama baby, which is the same energy field. And I could feel how sensitive my little man was. I was like, I just want to keep you in this womb space for as long as possible until I could feel he and I were ready to be in the outside world again, because we're so sensitive. Like babies are so sensitive when they come out, and so are the woman that's just birthed, that of course just going slowly again, it's like that culture of like do go, get your body back into shape, do this, do that. And actually doing the complete opposite of that is probably the most nourishing and healing thing that you can do after you've given birth.
Thank you, Grace. Finally, before we close, thank you for sharing all of your wisdom. And I would love to know, what is it that you live by? Is there a phrase, a feeling? How do you receive that question? What is it that you live by?
So the sentence is, let me just make sure I get it right, Steffi. Like, what is it?
What do I live by?
I had 5 hours sleep last night, so I'm just trying to make sure this comes out. It's not happening to me, it's happening for me. So whenever anything is coming up in my life, it's happening for me. Like, what's the medicine here? So I think that would be my mantra. It's not happening to me, it's happening for me. If I look back to when I had vulvodynia, which was going on for around 10 years and was excruciating, even at the depths of that pain, I would always consider that something was happening for me within it. And I wasn't really connected to that concept then. I just knew something greater was happening. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be here doing this work. And this is literally my soul's work. I wouldn't have had my baby in the way that I had my baby. Like all of the things, it's happening for me, not to me.
So powerful, so inspiring, and so healing. And it really is the heart of this podcast, The Alchemy of Life, and transforming our wounds into wisdom. And you're the most beautiful example, Grace. So thank you so much for your time, for sharing all your amazing knowledge, wisdom, experiences. I know that this is going to be so helpful for so many people, really, truly. So thank you. And thank you all to you wonderful souls for listening. Please don't forget to shout from the rooftops about the podcast. Share it. Word of mouth is so powerful. We are really, really grateful. Subscribe, review, 5 stars only, please. And see you next time on the Alchemy of Life podcast. Thank you.